everyone.
Hey.
I'm Alicia.
And I'm Meredith.
And this is It's About the Pasta of Vanderpump Rules podcast. We're at season 9, episode 3, the best episode that ever freaking was because of my sweet baby angel.
Alicia just told me she cried.
I did. We'll get into
You're not like a crier, so that's why I'm shocked.
I'm not, but I love people sometimes. Okay. First, before we get into it, check out the A&M Podcast Network. We have this podcast. We have Summer is Fun, a Summer House podcast, which will include Winter House, which is coming, I think, in like 2 weeks.
Next week.
Oh my God, I'm stressed.
It premieres on the 20th. It is confirmed, but on different days.
Okay. Well, great. So we'll have that coming out. And One Season Wonders, where Meredith and I are famous with the Bush family from St. Louis. Also
mainly the exes,
mainly Marissa. Please rate, review, subscribe. We have nothing new to report on that end, and I'm sad about it.
Wah, wah. Please give us a review. I just like want one,
like a good so review. Long. Don't give us a bad review, because like fuck you if you're gonna do that. But
okay, in your review you can put some like constructive criticism
with 5 stars.
Hit those 4 or 5 stars.
Yeah. If you give us a 1-star review, you are a Jax Taylor and I hate you. So.
Oh.
Also, follow us on Instagram at Vanderpasta. I need you guys to vote in my polls every week because I have
I feel like I'm always the first one to vote and it makes me so happy.
I vote all the time. I love it. Also join our Patreon, patreon.com/Vanderpasta. Let me tell you what you can get. So for the small price of only $1 a month, you get access to all of our pre-shows. Today's was very long. If you want to kill 45 minutes of your life,
this is the time to do it because my life is actually kind of interesting right now.
Mine's not, but I just talk about whatever the fuck comes to my mind.
My personal life is interesting. And there's a lot of things Bravo happening that Alicia and I will talk about.
We talked about Dorito a lot. So please go listen. Also, you get access to any episodes we record early. So that doesn't include live shows, but that includes when we go back and watch old seasons. So we've already done seasons 1 through 3 of Vanderpump Rules and season 1 of Summer
Half
House.
Half of 4.
They're all up on our Patreon. And then you'll get the rest of 4 and we'll go through 5 to 7 and we'll do all of the Summer House ones we have to do. So don't you worry. It's all coming.
Live shows you get like a tiny bit early.
Yeah, that's very true. You do. So why wait? Especially the Summer House ones, because those spoilers,
you get like 4 days early.
We are going, I think it premieres on Thursdays, but because we're doing for a long time, we had no live shows.
It does Wednesdays. The episode airs on Wednesdays and we don't release till Monday because of just how life works.
So yeah. So
just come join us.
Probably join the Patreon.
It's fine.
For $2 a month, you get access to everything I just mentioned. Plus, you get access to our after shows, which are not applicable for live seasons, but for seasons we go back to. But honestly, there's probably like over a year of content on there for after shows.
Oh,
now.
Absolutely.
So just go listen. They're fucking hilarious. We go off on more tangents. and we will say your name on the podcast. So I'm unprepared. Give me 1 second. Just one moment.
I think I can list them all. There's 8 of them.
Oh,
Jackie,
okay, you do it.
Dustin, Chris, Tracy.
Uh-huh.
Danae. Is that how it?
Yeah, Danae.
That's 5.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I can get the rest.
I don't even know who you said, to be honest. You should be offended and you should message Meredith if she forgot your name.
Yeah, you can yell at me.
Okay, I got it pulled up. It is, we are going to say thank you to Chris, Danae, Dustin, Gina, Jackie, Mariah, Tracy, and Zoe.
Oh, okay. I only missed 3 of you guys, but I'm going to memorize them now.
Did you remember Chris? Did you remember your father?
Yeah, it was Zoe, Mariah, and Gina. Yeah.
Sorry, you guys should yell at her faux show. Okay. And then for $5 a month, this is where you're going to get shit for the live shows. So for $5 a month, we want your thoughts on the show. On the live show, we'll read it out loud. We'll talk to you. We do get a lot of DMs, which we super appreciate. But
we respond to those personally.
We respond, but we're going to talk live about thoughts that we have that we get on the Patreon for $5. And we'll pick a patron of the week. So this week, it's Meredith's dad, because he probably misses her.
That's true. I don't live with my parents right now.
For the first time in a long time. I'm just kidding.
F off.
But,
just 2 months.
Jackie sent us a message. She said, this goes back a few episodes, but I always just say, like, give us any thoughts of what has been shared so far.
Oh, yeah. I personally commented to her.
Oh, my God. I know yours was so long. We're not reading that. You can just comment. But she said, VP is back. Drink, ladies. James is ugh, which I disagree, Jackie. Come on. He's my favorite. California sober workout pill. Cue the epic spiral this season. I hope Katie does help with the restaurant, because if she wants that and her hubby blocks her, not good for him or the Toms, which is true. I guess because I'm not married, I never think of it from a marriage perspective.
But yes, no, but that's what I brought up is that's sorry. I had a good for the
relationship.
That's messed up. Schwartz should have Katie's back.
Schwartz doesn't even have his own back though. Like,
That is true.
Lala is about to meet her match and needs to take a lesson in humility. Agreed.
Yay.
Common.
I just want Charlie to come out of her shell, and I think we're getting it.
The universe sees all, and your book sales show it.
Oh.
Got her. Ariana remains my hero. Never back down, girl. Agreed. Don't hate looking at Brock this season at all. Okay, Jackie, hot take. His hair was fucking long this episode.
Yes.
I made a note about it. The new restaurant name is the worst. Agreed. And I don't miss Kristen, Jax, Brittany, or Stassi at all. Let's go. Honestly, kind of same. I don't miss Brittany, to be honest.
Same. The thing I commented back on that is I only miss, we're kind of missing, like, Stassi had that dark side, which I kind of enjoyed, the juxtaposition of, like, kind of girly girls is like how much she loves witches and murder and, like, all these things that I know I like, that I kind of, like, needed character to fill that void.
No, I'm kind of with Jackie. The only thing I miss is I want to see Stassi's baby, because I think it's the cutest.
Yeah,
but other than that,
but we do get two babies, so that does help. Is like,
that's true.
They're, it's not like not all the babies were kicked off. We do get the mom version, which I don't mind.
I just thought I would miss Kristen or Jax the least, and I surprisingly miss Brittany the least. Like, that bitch, I don't really care. So
oh, I yay, could not Jackie. Care less about Brittany. Yeah, thanks Jackie for messaging.
Okay, Meredith, you are mixing it up.
Yeah. I have loads of wine from Costco right now.
Good for you.
So
cheers.
Here's to my white wine.
There we go. I told Meredith I brought a milk frother and I just wanted to froth some milk for my tea. It Holy didn't work.
Cracks me up. It did work.
I mean, I super frothed it, but it became a fucking brick wall. So I'm just drinking my tea, but it's pretty bad. Okay. I think that's it. It is. Let's discuss this freaking episode.
Let's
and then
go.
I actually have a lot of Instagram stuff too at the end. So I'm very excited for my polls. Okay. So previously on Vanderpump Rules, the Toms are opening another bar and the name is still up for debate. Schwartz is still a pussy. Brock and Sheena are in love. James invited everyone to Palm Springs to recreate Coachella, but he's really going to propose. Randall laid into Schwartz and Lala and Charlie got into it and Charlie stood her ground. So we wake up in Palm Springs. We're at the rental house. Raquel is so happy to wake up to James. They're so cute. Charlie wakes up to Buffy and starts telling her life. And then we find out actually she was on the phone with her boyfriend, Corey. I really thought this bitch was talking to Buffy the head.
I know. Well, especially because she was talking about like everyone's lip liner being messed up last night. I was like, oh, this makes sense. She's talking to her like makeup doll.
Yeah, it's like kind of funny if, because that would be us, right? We wouldn't have most likely boyfriends to wake up to. And yeah, the camera's probably pointing at us, so we have to talk to get screen time. So we would talk to Buffy. But then actually she was on the phone and Corey said next time he'll be there, which I'm excited to meet Corey.
Do we know if the boyfriend's on?
He said next time I'll be there. So maybe. Maybe he's just being supportive. Maybe he just genuinely couldn't go this week.
But yeah, like
another time we'll show up to a Vanderpump Rules event. Hopefully we see
a little bit. Like even if it's like,
he just stops by.
We better at least talk about him. You know how like Randall was behind the scenes early on?
My man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we got his name, so it's a start.
That's true.
But Charlie does not want to fucking play pickleball in the sun.
I was excited about this. I'm going to say this is definitely a change of pace.
I'm going to say it. Pickleball was my favorite part. And I have so many notes on it that I just want
to. Okay. No, it wasn't. You loved the proposal the most.
That's true. I actually, okay, this is like two different episodes. In
yes.
One. So part one,
pre, I really like pre-cella and post and like during cella. Yeah,
during cella. So now we're at Lala and Randall's rental. Karen, the baby nurse, is here, which is nice, but I can't afford it. So.
No, but like I honestly do like seeing this type of stuff because it shows like Randall, he may not be the most successful like producer, director, whatever he does with movies, but I do like being reminded that they kind of are on a different level.
Yeah. He knows Mark Wahlberg, so. So he's like fucking famous. Lala's pumped for pickleball. Randall's obsessed with pickleball. It's the old man's tennis.
This is probably why I love pickleball, like this thing the most, is because Randall's obsessed with it. And I love Randall. Oh.
I would just like to say really quick, Randall put this whole pickleball tournament together as Tom Sandoval did. So just because Randall's really good, no one roasts him for being really good at it. It's his.
Yes, but this is the first time he's ever put anything together.
That's true. But if someone says you put it together, if someone told me to put something together, it would be
one time is a coincidence, multiple times is a pattern. So we don't have enough to say it's a pattern.
So Randall brings up the Schwartz thing. He's done pushing Schwartz and Lala wants this done and over with because she doesn't want to get into it with Katie. And Randall's just done with Schwartz being a big fucking pussy, which I agree. He is a big fucking pussy.
I 100% agree. And Katie was in support of Randall roasting.
Katie was fucking fine.
Yeah.
Katie was fine.
Yes.
So we're back at the main rental house. We're going to do the plan is a pickleball tournament and then back to the house for party vibes and lunch. Yes. James is pumped. And he's extra excited because he doesn't have a hangover.
He does not miss those days. Losers. Which, I mean, it is really nice to not wake up hungover. Like, seeing how Sandoval and Ariana look, and James is like, so glad I'm not them. I'm like, I agree with you.
I agree, but also I just love alcohol. So.
But here I am. On to my third bottle of wine in 3 days.
Schwartz asks Katie, what time are we going to pickleball? And Katie responds with, everyone sees Sandoval steamrolling you, which it was cut horribly, but I also wouldn't put it past Katie to
screw pickleball. Like that. Yeah.
And Schwartz says it's not true. And Katie's like, Schwartz, you need to assert yourself. And he says he does. He has so many ideas behind the scenes.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the outside thinks.
Yeah. He doesn't care what other people see or what his appearance is. You know, like he's making moves.
You just can't see him.
Yeah. And Katie's like, no. Sandoval's making moves. You're just there like nodding your head.
Also, the partnership, though, the reason these two work so well is because Sandoval's in charge.
Yes.
And Schwartz is there. Is Schwartz ever in charge of anything?
No, even Katie, I bet, doesn't let him actually be in charge. It's kind of like you let like little kids think that they're making decisions. That's how Schwartz's friends and family and wife treat him. It's like, yeah, you make that decision.
When Schwartz proposed to Katie, he told Sandoval and Sandoval helped him with it. When Schwartz got involved in Tom Tom, he couldn't do it without Sandoval. He literally thought he was just gonna like be a waiter at Tom Tom. And Lisa was like, no, you're part of it. And he's like, oh, so he's useless. He knows it. Katie doesn't want him to be as useless as he is, but his thing is, well, his brand is just pussy and he's okay with
it. And I think Katie's frustration is, if Schwartz would just own that role and understand that that's his role, like, we can all just be like, all right, great, whatever, moving on. But Schwartz tells Katie his opinions and he actually does have opinions, but he won't share them with Sandoval. So Katie's the bad guy.
Which is frustrating.
Yeah. Either just be in the background and that's fine, or don't make me look like the bad guy and actually do it yourself.
Yeah. Just admit to everyone that you're a big pussy.
Don't or what your Katie idea is.
Don't pretend like push to Katie your that you're like having ideas and Sandoval won't let you, like, clearly, whatever. So now we're at Sheena's rental. They have a lot of fucking water in their fridge. Did you see that?
So much water. I don't understand what is happening.
So Sheena's yelling about her breast milk and no one's answering. And then she realizes that Brock has left because he's been playing pickleball for the past hour.
Which, like, she doesn't, I don't think she knows that at the time, but we go to the pickleball courts and see Brock like practicing. I love this.
Good for him. Take it seriously, man.
Well, I'm like, I like the dedication. Like,
he's an athlete.
And this is, we are filming a show here. You know, if we this is like everyday, well, if this is everyday life, okay, yeah, that's concerning. But like, I'm watching a show. So like, I appreciate that we're having a pickleball tournament and you're taking this so seriously because like, that's who I am.
Awesome. So Randall shows up with the megaphone and Sean, his assistant. Sean's fucking cute. Sean, you single, hit me up.
I love that we have a nanny here in Palm Springs and an assistant.
I'm like here for Sean though. I hope he gets more face. Or
well,
more
somebody has to run it because like Randall's going to be playing. So somebody has to do the logistics of this mini tournament.
Oh my God. I wish I was hanging
out with Sean. The Palm Springs Open, I think is what they call it.
I have a big crush. So Brock talks about being a professional athlete, which we know he played rugby and I think he tried out for the NFL. But basically he's pretty good at everything. He lists a bunch of sports he's really good at. So he's taking pickleball.
We're following up on basically the workout from last episode where he like lists all the workouts he likes to do. Yeah, I'm loving this like character. He's
so athletic. Yeah. I am the opposite of this man.
Me too.
The complete opposite.
I tried to walk in sand today and it was like a struggle.
Can you imagine being chased in sand? I'd be like, I'll just die. Thank you.
Yep.
The theme of the pickleball tournament is 1900s Wimbledon. So that means bright colors, white skirts, headbands, and awesome hair, which everyone had great hair, I guess. Tom Sandoval even has a mullet coming out of his hat, which
I mean, Raquel's wearing a sweater vest.
Raquel looks so cute. Okay. So we'll talk about Raquel all day. Sorry. Sheena says Brock better bring home the win because he's been practicing for fucking ever. Also it's Sheena's mom's birthday. Brock thought that Sheena's mom was here in Palm Springs to help, which is also what I thought, but apparently Sheena's mom can't help on her birthday. Brock didn't know that.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. The reason Sheena's mom came was to help with the baby, but it also falls on her birthday. And later we learn her back's hurting.
Yes.
So there's all these reasons mom can't help, I guess, but also is going to help.
Sheena's mom is full down to take care of Summer, even on her birthday.
Yeah.
Full down.
We're filming a show.
Just... Mom, watch the baby.
If you can't watch her on your birthday and that's the weekend we're going to Palm Springs, we're going to hire somebody who can.
Just Sheena going, oh, I don't want my mom to work. Listen, my mom wants nothing more than to hang out with me on her birthday. So
yeah, her first granddaughter is a baby. Like, the dream.
My mom would die for that.
I didn't like this like bit.
Do appreciate that Sheena pays her mom.
Yes.
Because listen, I get it. Like,
it's weird.
Parents love to be
money.
With grandkids. Yeah. Like, I get it. But if Sheena's doing it to make this TV show where she's getting tons of money, and her mom will probably be
and
with
it's like a full-time
hours.
Thing. Yeah.
So it's
this
like,
isn't just
hey,
like
mom,
one weekend. where it's like, hey, mom, come with us. This is clearly.
And even if it is one whole weekend, it's like, you're going to have to be with her for like 8 hours. So if you can just like watch her. So like, here's some money, you know, I appreciate that.
I like that. It's, she's being paid. Not to jump ahead too much, but like when Brock calls her an employee, I don't like
that's that. That's fucking rude.
But I understand. I think what he's trying to say is like, I think what he's trying to communicate is correct. Like, listen, yes, I can go leave and practice for an hour on this pickleball tournament because like she was brought here to watch the baby we're paying her on her birthday. Like, stop yelling at me for going to do this thing for our TV show.
I get it. So welcome to Lala and Randall's first annual pickleball open.
This better
pickle
be
away.
I want more of them in the future years, by the way.
All right, here we go. So first round, it looks like Schwartz is going up against Charlie, who has never played before. So I put my money on Schwartz.
Same.
Brock versus Raquel. Raquel's a sweet baby angel. I'm pretty sure she'll lose. Fine.
I mean, the athleticism of Brock that he practiced for an hour.
He practiced for a whole hour. Yeah. So Raquel didn't practice at all.
No, but she looks gorgeous.
So cute. So now we have Lala and James. And Lala's played. She's ready for some pickleball, but she is struggling and she is getting mad and she's throwing temper tantrums in her racket. And James does a nice comparison to Lala and Raquel. Lala's fucking throwing a tantrum. Raquel is sweet baby angel.
Gracefully.
Grace.
She makes it look easy.
She's just happy to be alive today.
With the cute little braids, like, just, I could watch that slow-mo thing all day.
And James doesn't say like sweet baby angel Raquel, but he's like, look at sweet little like nice Raquel. And then Lala, who's like fucking, even Randall is like,
everywhere.
Oh my God. He's like, Lala, stop.
I think Randall's just disappointed in her performance. Not really the like screaming.
True. He's just disappointed.
Her name is on the tournament and look at her performance.
Also, whoever edited this episode gets an award because when we see Raquel playing, it's like this nice baby calm music. And then it goes back to Lala and it's just Lala screaming over
silence. It's all the bleep outs.
Which is so funny. James even calls Lala a nutter, which fucking sent me. 100%. He's like, look, she's like a nutter over there.
I mean, let's be honest. Funny. James is the underdog and I'm so proud of him.
Yeah. So Katie gets, you randomly selected who you went against. Katie picked Sandoval.
Isn't that funny how that shit always happens? Like the person Sandoval you don't want to spend time with.
Sandoval doesn't even have a racket. and he is here to distract. That's how he's going to win. I appreciate it. He is stretching.
It's a strategy.
He's acting. He's making a mockery out of it and loving it. And he even has a whistle. So every time they serve, he whistles.
I would literally walk over to his hot side, grab that from his neck while it's still on there and be like, give this to me now.
It was just so funny because Katie was taking it seriously and he wasn't. So she was getting mad. And then Schwartz even, he's like trying to be supportive. He's like, you got it, Papa. But then he gets yelled at because he's on the court and Katie gets really mad at him.
She's like, get out of the way.
So Sandoval does win. Also, just to get everyone, James wins, Brock wins, and Schwartz wins. So now it's Randall versus Brock. Randall wins. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Brock, the hour of practice only helped you beat sweet baby Raquel, who everyone was probably going to beat. Schwartz beat Charlie. Saw that one coming. Oh, I already said that. Sorry. So Randall, a long time ago, got Schwartz to play against him in pickleball, and Schwartz got destroyed.
Schwartz had never played before.
He even waged the name of his firstborn. So now Katie and Tom's baby is fucked, probably.
I think Randall said the name will be Pickle.
Amazing. Good luck.
Love it.
But that motivated Schwartz, the one time Schwartz is motivated in life, to beat Randall and become a worthy opponent. So the final matchup is Schwartz versus Randall. And it was pretty close for a while. Katie's really proud. She wants Schwartz to win so he can get some confidence and some testosterone in his balls.
Yes. I mean, listen, Randall, again, like Randall and Lala's names are on this tournament that they created. So Schwartz is the underdog. I'm proud of how he competed.
But he does come up short, and Randall, he comes up Schwartz, and Randall wins. And that's it. And when you create an activity, you get to win it. That's the new rule of this episode.
The difference with Sandoval is there's an actual judging, like, and scoring system in pickleball. Sandoval, that's arbitrary how he got to judge the runway.
Woohoo! You win if it's your event.
All right. Well, best podcaster award on this. Oh, I win.
It's not me. I'm a nightmare. Okay, so now we're back at the rental house. Everyone's chilling at the pool. Sandoval, though, is behind the house. He is confirming all of his events for tomorrow. He is so fucking amazing. He should be a party planner. He's even pumped about champagne glasses.
Yes.
And James comes over. He's so excited. He calls Sandoval his bestest friend.
He's so thankful for, like, helping with all of this stuff. You know, like, this is, I mean, this is a lot of work. This is Sandoval's wheelhouse. Like,
this is, I love this. So while we're partying in the pool, guess who makes an appearance? White Kanye. James
Kennedy.
My favorite. I love him. Everyone's dancing. It's so much fun. Then Schwartz decides we're going to play some Jenga that he wrote stuff out on, like, or dares. Someone wrote.
Yeah.
So you pull it out and you have to do a dare. So
have,
like,
you played this? Have you had your friends do this?
Yeah, but usually it's, like, dirty and then it gets weird.
Yeah, I played this. Like, the ones my guy friend did are, like, stressful. Like, and I don't like play. Like, it for me, it's like, who wrote this? Because then you can, like, tell where this is gonna go. Like,
well, what's, like, a stressful, like, thing?
There's just, like, a lot of, like, random shots and group shots where it's, like, it just is constantly happening. And it's, like, okay, this is, like, a party. Like, we're already drinking. Like, let's chill out. Or, like, weird things. Like, I don't want to do a body shot out of somebody's, like, belly button I just met.
Yeah, ew. It's just, I liked, like, really, this, like, version.
I liked this version, too.
So, Sandoval has to bust a rhyme. DJ James Kennedy gives him a beat. He raps about pissing on his white fur jacket, which is fucking disgusting. And then he baked the piss in to his jacket because he had it in the sun all day.
This doesn't make sense to me why we did this. Like, why he put his coat
thought
in the sun.
It was, oh, I thought you meant why he peed on it.
No.
I think he maybe tried to wash it and then put it in the sun to dry. But
also, isn't it interesting that guys, when they get drunk, just pee random places? I don't know girls who do this.
No, when I'm drunk, I'm in pain because I'm holding my pee the whole time.
Yeah, and I know I can always find a bathroom.
And if I can't, I'm just going to be in pain. Like, I'm not. Maybe I'll.
I guess it's because guys can, like, pee standing up, so you can get confused a lot easier.
Okay, so James has to play fuck, marry, kill with the people here, which, so he says marry Raquel because it's the love of his life, which is good. For fuck, he should have said, like, Sandoval or someone, or, like, Schwartz, or, like, maybe.
Here's the sucky thing is, I think he's just thinking rapid fire, and what he says is, well, I've already done this, so I guess I should just pick it as a safe bet.
Yeah, I've already fucked Lala.
And I'm like, okay, I get how you got there, but I'm with Raquel. Like, I'd be pissed if that were me.
It would have been funnier if he was like, definitely Sandoval. Yes. Have you seen that mustache?
I mean, it's like, basically how the kill thing happened. Like, everybody was like, pick Katie. And Katie was like, what the hell? We, like,
that
we patched
was
it up.
So funny. Schwartz gave Katie. Yeah. He was like,
you should
Katie.
Just pick Katie. And you guys already hate, like, each other.
I'm not going to kill Katie. Now I'm going to kill you. And it was funny. But yeah, so he does say he'll fuck Lala because he's already done that. And it gets uncomfortable. Not for Lala. She thinks it's, like, fine. No. But everyone,
I think for Lala, it's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Poor sweet baby angel Raquel. She's trying to forget that Lala and James slept together. We even get a fun flashback of them making out.
I enjoyed the flashback because
I love
Alicia and I are watching season 4 before this. And it was
disgusting.
Great. Disgusting. I said it was great. I know, but it's like, that is so long ago. That's
five. It's great.
That's 6 years ago, technically.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It just makes Raquel insecure because Lala has such high self-esteem and Raquel really doesn't. And that made me sad because I was like, poor sweet baby angel Raquel.
I know. And then to make it worse, you know, she goes and she gets give a toast.
I know.
And it is so awkward. She like is stumbling over her words, doesn't know what to say. Everybody's like, just say something. And I think, you know, that adds the pressure when people start talking.
Yes. And obviously we know from a previous reunion that she actually started competing in pageants to try and build her confidence and work on talking because you get asked questions in a pageant. Yeah. And so you have to answer them. So she's really tried to work at this, but she just gets so nervous and she's so quick to shame herself on not being able to come up with something. And that's when she goes like, I'm never mean to anyone. Why am I so mean to myself? And I was just like,
so sad. Like what makes reality TV so great is when people open up and kind of talk about their experiences. So, you know, it really shows like light on why Raquel is so quiet and why she hasn't been the star of this show by any means, even though she's gorgeous and there's all these things. I always want more from her, but she's like scared. Hearing this, it makes sense. Yeah. And like, it's so fascinating to me because like, I feel like I'm the complete opposite of her. I talk when I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I could do either. I get what she means though about like a lot of people and then you have to like make the toast or everyone's listening to you. I get really nervous too.
Like being in front of the people she loves the most is still terrifying. Like there's no comfort level for her.
Yeah, it's sad. But then Katie gets choose a dare for another player and she dares Lala to put on Tom's piss coat. And Lala does it. And
the greatest reward.
She beers her body after to like get the piss off.
She's like, I felt something wet. Get it off me.
Okay. So now we are at Sheena's rental. Summer Moon sneezes a lot. I don't know why I wrote it down, but God bless you, Summer Moon. Sheena's mom comes out and asks if pickleball was worth leaving early. And Brock is like, yeah. And you could just tell the tension.
I don't like this at all from both sides.
So this is where Brock calls Sheena's mom an employee. So she shouldn't be having her opinions or whatever. And he can leave if he wants to. But this is when Sheena says she didn't want her mom to do anything on her birthday. And then Sheena in her interview lets us know that Brock and her mom always butt heads about everything because Brock's a Gemini and mom's a Taurus. Okay. And that makes zero sense, Sheena.
Okay, that's from people stupid. Who don't do astrology, especially like compatibility type, like this means nonsense. This is nonsense to
this
me.
This means nothing to me.
However, I'm big, like, let's be honest, both parties have fault in this. Like, if they're butting heads often, like, that really worries me for Sheena.
Yeah. And then, Sheena loves her mom.
I don't like that Sheena's mom is like making comments to Brock because the whole reason Sheena's mom's here. Is actually to watch the baby so they can go do things.
Yes. I also agree. I don't know what else they have tension about. I would love to see and learn about it. But if it's just fucking this, come on. Both of you.
Well, I bet the red flags that come up with Lala Brock's and family. Randall later are things that Sheena's family are worried about, but they're not talked about. So everything he does is probably scrutinized.
True. Well, anyway, Sheena's mom leaves. So then Brock apologizes for leaving this morning. And Sheena says she was just tired because Brock was able to fall asleep before Sheena and she was up earlier. And Brock says he doesn't know what to do because Sheena was only up later because she had to take off her makeup.
Well, he says you had to take off your makeup and pump. So I can't pump. Like,
you want me to take off your makeup while you pump? Because,
yeah, I can never do that. So what do you want me to do?
Yeah. And Sheena's just getting upset. And Brock says, you know, Sheena's frustrated with everything and she blames Brock for stuff. And he doesn't want Sheena to think he's abandoning her. He just wants to go play pickleball for an hour. And Sheena says she just hates it when her mom and Brock butt heads. Yeah. but she's emotional because she still has hormones pumping through her, and they like laugh because that's funny. And then they're like, fine.
He says, don't like, basically don't bring that up.
I think he was kind of joking. He's like, oh, you bring up the hormone thing again. Yeah. And she was like, I get to use it for a year.
Yes.
And he was like, oh.
The only reason I'm bringing it up is because people like roasted him on Twitter for it.
Like, oh, they about were the not hormone happy. Thing?
Yeah. Which
I took it more.
We've never had kids. I took it as a joking thing too. Like, again, with like, that's the excuse we're going to use right now. Or like, that's
it's like the, when I'm on my period, I'm like, yes. I'm going to do everything.
I'm going to push this hormonal button. I get. Yeah. Like Sheena gets that button for a year, like she said, but he's also going to be like, oh, the hormones again, you know?
Yeah. Like when I cry to my mom, she's like, oh, you're on your period. And I'm like, yes, but I get to do it. So I took it as a joke. If it wasn't, that's rude, but that's just how I interpreted it. So
I did too, but I do know people are not happy with him.
Ugh. Well, whatever. Let's go to a happier time. The rental house. We are having fucking party. It's shots everywhere. And so Sandoval wants to give a toast, but everyone makes a joke and they're like, no, 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 have Raquel do it. And Raquel is so upset.
Which I'm like, this is kind of malicious.
She doesn't want to do it. Everyone, I was like, James, step in and be like, I'll do it. I'll do it or something. But I don't think it registered for James because he was just trying to be supportive. And he's like, you got it, Raquel.
I think he's trying to, he thinks he's like helping her work through it. Like, slightly supportive rather than just like stepping in and taking over.
Yeah. Cause like, what's the right thing to do, right? Do you want someone to improve or do you just want to protect them from it? It depends, I guess. But she got so anxious. She just went blank. And then she just said, she's grateful for James and everyone cheers is, which fine, do whatever.
Yep.
They're getting ready for Coachella tomorrow. Everyone thinks that it's our Cella, like O-U-R Cella, but it's actually our Cella, like the letter R.
Like Raquel Cella.
Raquel Cella. So Raquel wants to take a little break. She seems very introverted, obviously. So she just needs like a moment to herself.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. And so she's going to go outside. James goes with her. And Raquel opens up about being upset. And how when she was making the toast, she just like went blank and she was anxious and she wasn't confident talking in front of people. And again, James is trying to be as supportive as possible, but Raquel is just frustrated. She doesn't want to be like this forever and she's struggling and she gets this insecure.
So sad.
Especially when she said like she gets insecure around these people like Lala because like Lala's intimidating, she's so right? Confident. She's like this confident person that'll say whatever she wants and she doesn't get embarrassed. And like Raquel gets embarrassed about everything. And she knows Raquel and James have so much in common. They're both like that. They'll say whatever the fuck they want.
Which this is where I'm like, James, I love you so much. Cause he's like, I don't want you to be like her. You know, like I love you exactly how you are. Like I'm not embarrassed by you. Like you are everything I want. And I like, I'm here to help you through it. I don't want you to be stressed about this. Like, I know that this happens, but like practice makes perfect. I think he talks her through it in the best way where stepping in for her in that speech in a way doesn't help her because it's something she wants to overcome.
Yeah.
So doing like, he tells her like doing that more often and being in those uncomfortable situations is what will push her to be better. So exactly. I think he honestly is such a great partner for her. He listens to her. He like coaches her through stuff, tells her exactly like how much he loves her and that she can't overcome it.
And like, no matter what, even if she sucks at the speech, like he'll still love her, you know, like it's fine. And then,
she and like, says, nobody cared. I think at one point he's like, nobody cared that you stumbled over your words. Like people aren't stressed about it. Like, don't think too much about it.
It's hard though when you care.
Yeah.
Like it's that anxiousness of like, you know, those jokes of like, I thought about that embarrassing thing I did in fifth grade.
Oh
like no one else remembers, but it like haunts you still. And so I think that's it for Raquel. And then this is where I cried. She asked James, how can he not be embarrassed by her? And he was like, are you kidding me? He loves her. He tells her that she doesn't need to try to impress him. He will always love her. And she can do anything and he knows that. And he's going to be here while she tries to do anything and everything she wants. And then kiss.
I love it.
Cute. Also, just because I wanted to mention it, we get the best flashback of James and Lala being chaotic. yelling about how fat and pregnant people are. And it was my favorite.
Yep.
Okay. Anyway. So we're back inside. Charlie's giving herself affirmations in the mirror. I appreciate
it. I mean, you go, girl. I'm not going to look in my mirror right here and tell myself, like, you are awesome.
Ariana and Tom have a bug in the room, and Ariana's trying to be an independent woman and kill it, but then it touches her.
But
I feel it.
But then she's like, it touched my finger.
It touches her. So Tom has to kill it. And so Katie and Schwartz are hanging out in the kitchen, and Katie asks Schwartz if she looks good tonight, because words of affirmation must be her love language. And he says yes, but her hair is kind of a Karen cut.
I died, because this is the most Schwartz moment. Like, insulting Katie without even knowing he's insulting Katie.
He's like, yeah, you look awesome, but the hair kind of sucks because it's Karen-y, but your boobs look great. Like, whatever, he's like, your boobs probably look great. And but then he tries to backtrack, because she's visibly like, what
she's
the
like,
fuck?
Are you fucking kidding me?
And he goes, but Bubba, you're the opposite of a Karen. Which she's not. Katie's a total fucking Karen sometimes.
But telling her she has a Karen haircut tells the world, like, that's what she's projecting to the world, no matter who she is. If someone doesn't know Katie and you're telling her she looks like a Karen, you're like, fuck. But all I'm gonna say is the haircut in that scene is a total Karen haircut.
She
looks
like Karen.
Fabulous in her
interviews. In her interview, she looks great.
Love
the everyday style is a Karen.
Well, it's a little shorter too at the moment that she's filming, but then whenever they do interviews, it is a little bit later.
Yeah.
So the growing out even helps.
And she has like one wavy part in the front, which looks bomb. But when it's just straight and short, it does kind of look a little Karen. But don't tell her, or like tell her when she's like, hey,
guys,
Bubba, this is what
just,
I'm going to do.
If there are any guys listening, this is just like if a girl says, do you look fat? You don't say yes.
Tom Schwartz would say yes.
Tom Schwartz would be like, you do look a little chubby today.
But I love the chub. I love when your thighs rub together and your stomach hangs over your jeans. And she'd be like, what the fuck? So Schwartz quickly changes the conversation and goes, he's bothered by people thinking he's a pushover. Now he's concerned about the outside
world.
You
pissed Katie off. She's like, let me go in on you.
So Sandoval walks out. And so Schwartz is like going to grow some balls, because he knows that's what Katie wants. And he fucking,
I'm not a pushover.
Insulted Katie's haircuts. And I was like, you know what'll make Katie happy? If I'm not a pushover.
But so you know what'll make her even more happy is if I blame her.
Oh my
while
God.
While I'm confronting
this
Sandoval.
Is the fun. I have so many things to say about this. He says, Katie thinks you steamroll me. And Katie goes, do not Oko Yono me. To which I died. I go, it's Yono or Yoko Ono. It's not Oko Yono. I was like, oh my God, it's Yoko. She's
and like,
Yoko.
Let's break this down. One. I love how Schwartz, when he's shamed enough, actually, first is finally going to take action, because he's shamed enough. Two, the blaming of Katie has happened 2 out of 3 of these episodes this season, and I am not here for it. In the 3 of Katie mixing it up, I just hope it's because she's like drunk.
I hope so too, because then Sandoval in his interview, he's like, I don't think Katie's the Yoko or Oko Yono. Because Sandoval's not the Lon Jenin. And I couldn't breathe. I had to pause. And I was like, I don't even know how to write that down.
I love this.
I like, screamed when she said.
This is why I love Sandoval. Because he like. He picks up on all this stuff. And this is hilarious.
I know. It's even hard for me to read Oko Yono. Because I just want to say
think
Yoko
about
Ono.
It.
Yeah. Oh my God. So funny. And then Sandoval calls Schwartz the single rar. He's so funny.
I love it.
I know he's a douchebag, but he's so
100%. I mean, it goes, that's what's troubling though, that I find this difficult, because Sandoval's interviews, that's hilarious. And then it goes into back into the like scene where Sandoval just completely steamrolls Schwartz.
He's like, no, I don't. And Schwartz is like, yeah, okay. But Schwartz is such a pussy. Like,
yes. See,
I think if you know you can steamroll someone, sometimes you don't realize you're doing it because it's like, why are you standing up to me?
That's the thing, is like you are not giving anything back. So I'm just telling, I'm being me, but if you don't choose to be you and like stand up.
Yeah.
I'm not intentionally trying to push you down.
Yeah.
But like, if you push yourself down, that's not on me.
I'm sure I sometimes steamroll people and I don't mean to, but they just don't have an opinion. So I'm going to tell you my opinion.
That's the thing, is like, we're so opinionated.
Yeah.
That like, we'll immediately give ours. And if people don't give them back, then it's like, of course we're going to keep talking.
Like, if I really don't care, I'll say like, I really don't care. But if I care, I'll fucking say something about
Absolutely.
It. And so now Schwartz is like, actually, this is more on me than it is you. So Katie's like, we just literally watched him get steamroll and now he's a big pussy.
It shouldn't be 100% on, because like, here's the thing is, if you're in business with someone, like if you steamrolled me, it would be on both of us to make sure we're equal.
But if you steamrolled me and I was like, hey, Meredith, you steamrolled me. And you were like, no, I didn't. And then I was like, you're right. It's more a me problem anyway. You're not going to sit there and be like, okay, this is my fault. You're going to be like, okay, it's your fault. So I blame
Schwartz. I think I would hope that I would internalize it and think, oh, shoot, my partner doesn't feel heard. I feel like Sainable doesn't care about what Schwartz wants.
Not really. And they're drunk. So I'll like give them that. But the fact that Schwartz fully doubled down and was like, this is more a me thing. I need to become more assertive.
Yeah, shows how much of a pussy he is.
I feel so great right now. And Katie's just like, what you call, you only stand up to me because I'm a Karen.
We literally just got it in action. Everything you said doesn't, like I told you, happens, just happened right here, live action.
I kind of got to blame Schwartz a lot. Like, come on. Oh yeah. Dude.
But there is like a small percentage that could fall on Sandoval.
Sandoval should realize it. But I think Schwartz has done this for years. They've known each other for like 16 years. That's the problem.
It has gone on too long. But now that they're in business together, like Sandoval should try and make space where he sits there and asks Schwartz and doesn't talk. Like, he needs to get a real response. Like, what do you think about the name?
Would you trust Schwartz to do anything? Because I wouldn't. It's like a group project.
I mean,
I'll just do it.
No, not like big decisions and actually doing things, but like I feel like I have to do this at work, is learn to not talk. Like, Sandoval needs to learn to not talk and ask Schwartz a question and then not talk at all.
Yeah, true. But yeah, whatever.
Not like, hey, go do this. Like, no, absolutely not. But like, what do you think of the name?
I mean, if Schwartz is just going to keep backpedaling, though, at that point, I'm going to be like, I picked the name then. I don't know. I think Schwartz is a big pussy. We got it on TV. Randall thinks so, like, too.
85-15. Like, Schwartz owns 85% Sandoval, of that blame.
Sandoval should realize it.
Isn't giving Schwartz space because he's so talkative and so assertive and knows exactly what he wants, that he can just steamroll by accident over Schwartz.
Well, whatever, they both suck. I hope Schwartz and Sandy's never gets made, because I need it to be called something else.
I have like a tidbit to talk about that after. Like, yeah.
So now it's the next morning. Katie and Schwartz wake up with Cheez-Its, and Schwartz swears he woke up in the middle of the night and still had Cheez-It in his mouth.
That's disgusting. That means it was like
sitting there. Like, in
it was like wet. It was just like goo at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to die.
How did you not choke?
Who cares?
I mean, I've woken up. Sure. I like to eat popcorn whenever, just at all times, but especially when I'm drunk. And I wake up with like popcorn on me, but not in my mouth.
It's just so gross.
Like half chewed.
Disgusting. I like can't with this man. James and Raquel are looking great and feeling great. Charlie is cleansing the house from all the dumb bitches, and she even cleanses herself.
This is one of my favorite moments. Get all the dumb bitches out of here. Might as well do myself.
I loved her. So now it's time to party in the pool. Sandoval and James, though, they tell everyone they're going to go shopping, but really they're going to go make sure that Archella is ready.
Yes.
And Sandoval feels a little bad for lying, but it's for the better of the group.
I love that he, like, that you get Sandoval or Schwartz on camera when they talk about, like, him lying to the group. And I'm like,
he's like, I'm lying to my best friend and my girlfriend. And I just love that Ariana's not his best friend.
Absolutely
like,
not.
Like, and it's same for Schwartz. He has his best friend and his wife. It's like, oh, I don't 100%. Know who I'm married to.
Okay, so we go and, like, do all this vendor setup, whatever. Do you
that's a real place of Coachella. Okay, I didn't realize it was really where Coachella was.
But I guess when you have, like, NBC and Bravo to back you up and nothing's happening on these grounds, like, later on, Raquel or Ariana is like, oh, yeah, the polo grounds. So they're used for other stuff throughout the year. Yeah. So I'm curious what the difficulty is of actually getting them.
The grounds?
Yeah.
I think it's just probably really expensive. But I'm sure if it's not being used, especially because Coachella, like,
yeah. Like, what is being planned? Like,
wasn't being used. I'm sure there were polo matches, but with COVID, it was probably hard to, like,
yeah.
A big music festival is not going to happen. And I'm pretty sure this was pre-vaccine or, like, right after the vaccine came out. Because it was summer. Yeah,
this was filmed over the summer. So
I okay, it was, like, right vaccinated. After vaccine. So Coachella was, like, not happening.
Yeah, still not happening.
But yeah, they go all out. And Sandoval's the one that fucking put down money.
Do you believe that, though?
I believe he helped. I think James also probably put down money, but I think Sandoval loves this shit.
This is because what this looks like is he's like writing Bravo checks. Paid? Yeah, he's writing checks. Who writes checks?
My mom writes checks and Sandoval.
I know, but like he's in his. I don't even know how late 20s, 30s. Late or early. No, Sandoval, not late.
He's like late 30s. He's in his 30s.
Okay. I guess he's not late 20s, mid 30s, I would say.
Okay. Mid 30-year-olds.
But either checks. Way, most of the stuff you can pay online. I feel like this is like a show. Like this is for the show. He's like writing checks.
I think it's funny. I hope he paid for it. It shows he's like the best. Somebody in the whole added it up
and it was like $8,500.
Which isn't like too bad, but
hilarious. Well, I guess when your reality star isn't, I'm like $8,500 for not even yeah, for my proposal.
For me, my God, just like hand me a ring pop and we'll call it a day. But yeah, he says he's going to spend money though, because proposals are once in a lifetime, which is not true. And also it's not once in Sandoval's lifetime because Ariana never wants one. So
that is true. It'll never happen in Sandoval's lifetime. It'll happen multiple times in a lot of these people's lifetimes.
And then he has the quote that drunk me is going to live off of. You can always borrow more dollars.
Swag. He's like, this probably isn't the smartest idea when you're trying to apply for a new loan on your house, but you can always borrow more money. I was like, this is why majority of people our age are in credit card debt. Go pay off your credit cards, people. Stop spending money. You can always
borrow more dollars.
No, this is not what we should be telling America.
I want it forever. Okay, so Lala and Randall's rental. We go there for a little bit. Summer Moon is coming over for a play date. Oh my God.
I love this. Let's do
Lala
it.
Does say it's kind of weird, and it is kind of weird because they're both babies and they probably don't know each other is even there. But
I think she's it's saying cute. It's weird because they just made up.
Oh, I thought it was weird because they were babies.
Well, okay, I think it's a little bit of both. Like, it's weird that they both have babies, and it's weird because they weren't friends when they were having these babies. So, like, yeah. To think about this moment is like really wild.
I wish their babies could play instead of just laying there. It was kind of uninteresting with the babies, but
I mean, these babies are like 3 months old at this point.
Yeah. We get a lot of dish drama. So let's talk about it. So Randall says he just changed his first diaper a week ago. And this man has two other kids. I see why he's divorced.
Well, let me just be honest. We don't get context. He never said like first ever. So I don't know if he means with Ocean or like truly ever.
Also, he does have a night nurse, or he does have a baby nurse, and I'm sure he had one with his two other kids.
I know. I'm just saying.
He's friends with Mark Wahlberg. He's got it.
I'm just saying, it's not like he said, I've just changed my first diaper ever.
I think I can interpret. He was busy hanging out with Mark Wahlberg, bringing in the money. Oh,
my God. Stop.
So Brock goes into his previous life in Australia. We find out he had his first kid when he was 20. He parted ways from his ex 5 years ago. They have two kids together And she felt that Brock abandoned them when he moved to America. So she moved on with the kid's stepdad, who basically filled the role as dad.
Okay, really quick. A lot to break down here.
Okay, yeah.
First, I did not realize he was so young when he had his kids.
Yes, I agree.
Two, we don't get like a great timeline in that blurb you just said, because it, like, a lot of life events seem to be mixed into like what he said.
I have more. I like did some research. So I did some info once we get like through it all. I think at the end of this, I'll talk about it.
Okay. That works for me, because I like really want to talk about the timing of it.
But and yeah,
I'm going to preface with like, I am going to give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt later when we discuss.
I'm going to go back and forth, I think.
Okay.
But, so we find out Summer and Brock's, one of Brock's other daughters has the same birthday, and the sister's name is Winter, which is super fucking fucked up. It was a bad breakup, and the ex is really mad that he named his daughter Summer.
Yes.
But Sheena says, this is my favorite part of like this area. Sheena says she's always wanted to name a child Summer since she was 16. And then some amazing Bravo editor found the clip of Sheena saying that her and Rob were going to have a kid named Madison Marie Parks Valletta.
Like,
which was not Summer, but it was no. So funny. Maybe Rob didn't like,
which I watched a little bit of Watch What Happens Live, and she said that Rob wanted that name. That's why Rob, she said it.
Rob probably didn't want the name Summer, and he's in charge. He have the divorce closet. So he's amazing.
And he also gets the name Madison, whatever, whatever, whatever.
Yeah. He loves it. So Brock hasn't seen his kids in 4 years. And he doesn't get to FaceTime his kids because
Lala and Randall's faces are just like pure cinematic. Like, but I would have loved to be a producer this day and been like, thank you. Yes. Give it to me.
I think the wit, I know this sounds bad, but we watch a lot of Teen Mom where like a lot of weird fucked up shit happens.
Yeah.
And this is real sometimes. Like there's a lot of tension sometimes between parents.
If you think about it. Okay. So we first learned of Brock at the season 8 reunion when quarantine had already started. So yes. Randall and Lala probably have not spent a lot of time with him. And this is their first time probably hearing.
That's
this.
True.
This is you're real right. Shock to them.
Yeah. So his ex cut his whole family out. Lala obviously thinks it's a huge deal, which it is. You haven't seen your kids in 4 years. You haven't talked to your kids in 4 years. Brock gets visibly upset in his interview while he's talking about it. And Sheena says, you know, Brock's been such a great dad and he has tried to contact these kids, but it just doesn't work. So she's like, I think her and Brock have kind of made peace with it but I think they've realized it. So they're trying to downplay it a little bit. She
knows more.
Yes.
That she doesn't hold this against him.
Yes. Whereas Lala is kind of like, this is a huge deal. Call the police, call the firearms.
Call the police.
Basically, I think Brock was getting a lot of heat. So he posted this video and basically it went into
last night.
Kind of, I think he posted it in 2017 when it first was like filmed, but he reposted it to a story that I watched. Basically, it was a story like, at first I thought it was like kind of documenting his life. Then I think it was a promo for F45, that gym, but I don't know. I don't care. Anyway. So you see Brock, he's talking about how he moved to provide more money for, and like a better life for his kids, which we know he was very young when he had kids. So he probably didn't have a ton of money. Right.
Yeah. Or like, and opportunities like,
yes. So his thing was, he was a good rugby player and a good football player in Australia. So his hope was to come to the US, and he was titled an NFL prospect in the video. So I think he came here to try and play professional football. So then he could either move his family here or like send money. I don't know what his plan was. I think he was still a prospect at this point. He obviously didn't make it. 2017.
Okay.
He obviously did not make it to the NFL, because I'm a big football fan. I've never heard of this man. But
He would not be on Vanderpump Rules if he was a football player.
No. But while he was trying to get into the NFL, he was also working at F45 as a coach. So what I basically took from this is he, as a young kid, still had dreams, but he needed to provide this life and he didn't know how to do it in Australia.
Okay.
But he thought he could make it in the NFL, right?
So and you
he
think
moved here.
His ex-wife and him were still together when he moved here.
Yes.
Okay.
I do. I think he, and this could go either way. To me, it doesn't. I wouldn't do this, but it's, you know, everyone's prerogative. I think he chose to stay in the US after he got denied from the NFL, which mm-hmm. I bet didn't sit well with his ex. Then yeah. I think, because this was released in 2017, then I think COVID hit.
That's so what I give him. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Those, when they say 4 years, I'm going to.
Two of those years, one and a half years can be.
I'm nixing 1.5 to 2 years off of that because that's not really fair. And Sheena addressed it in Watch What Happens Live of like, technically and I'm going to only give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, is he at some point should go back to Australia, even if he has to quarantine for 2 weeks and do that. But the problem is when you come, if he came back from Australia to here, would he have to quarantine again? Like that's logistics of like Summer Moon is so young.
Yes.
Maybe it's not the right time to do it at that point.
And now it's probably really hard because he fell in love with Sheena and like has this other kid.
So he's like pissed off the mom too.
Yeah. Is he like going to live in California with his new family or go back to Australia? Like now it gets more complicated because you have you have basically two families on two different continents.
Yep.
So it's hard. I don't know anything about this like FaceTiming thing.
Well, that I bet because like you said, like I agree. I think he moved here in with good intentions. It didn't work out. He wanted to stay here. Him and his wife divorced. She moved on. She was probably pissed and cut him out. It sucks that she cut out his family too, who probably live in Australia. Like that was not right.
But yeah, like what's he going to do? He's in a different continent and they won't make his FaceTime calls.
Yeah. Like especially if his family's cut out too, like it's not like his family can see his kids and then FaceTime him once that all happens.
Yes. So like, do I think he made some wrong decisions? Yes. Do I think he was like 22 when he made these decisions?
Yeah. Yes. I think he made selfish decisions, but how could you not at that time?
That's the thing.
When you're 22, already there.
You're naturally selfish.
Yeah.
You're already there. You've experienced life without kids now in your 20s in America. And you probably like love it. Probably and huge party scene.
He may have been making good money to send back too.
Yeah.
That you can justify it at some point.
But I get COVID hitting because Australia wanted nothing to do with the United States because we fucking sucked.
So like, let's separate the shame of like the COVID years from the early years.
Yes. So.
Because 4 years is a lot and it sounds horrible, but like give him a break for a minute of it.
Yeah. So should I be judging him more? I don't know. I don't know enough.
Yeah. So
again, I think he made bad decisions. But
Sheena said on Watch What Happens Live last night that this plays out that a lot more information will come out the rest of the season. So she was like, She was like, I know a lot more than you do as the viewer. So
agreed. Great. I can't wait to learn. And then I'll judge more because I have a podcast too. Judging everyone.
I like this storyline and I want to know more. Too. I'm very intrigued. I mean, I hate that it has happened, but like, I love trying to investigate this.
Also, I'm going to be curious if I think this ex is kind of the villain for keeping Brock away from his kid.
Like,
but I don't know enough. Like, I can't.
Okay, but she's
either.
At least at fault for not accepting any calls or.
But like, is he not calling? Is he just saying he's calling? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but like, it sounds like even his family is cut off. Like, that's not cool. If those kids have grandparents in Australia in the same area, like, that's not cool.
Yeah. So I just can't wait to learn.
Like back to our teen mom, like kind of comparison is Macy never cut off
Jen and Larry.
Like you got to make it work with like some family. Like that's your kid's family.
Agreed. She never even cut off her deadbeat like ex. Like she accepts Ryan as much as he will soberly. Whatever. I'm excited to learn.
But I know
Meredith and I love judging broken families because we watch Teen Mom.
Here we go.
Okay, so. We're back at the rental house. James and Tom are back and they're planning what to do. They walk in.
Schwartz they come with no bags. They said that no they bags. Were going shopping. And I
they
was
had
like,
no
number
food.
One issue.
At least just stop at the CVS and get some food or something. I thought of that too. I was like, they fucked it up. But Schwartz doesn't care. He's upset. Sandoval has been gone all day. He didn't receive a text. He didn't know where Sandoval was. Katie thinks he's just jealous because Sandoval is hanging out with some other dude, but
both are true.
I love that Schwartz is like, I was unhappy just hanging out with Katie and not knowing where you were. Are you okay? I
feel you didn't like, respond to my text. Where have you been?
I've been stuck with this Karen all day. Let me hang out with you. So
I've been stuck with Karen all day.
So basically, James and Sandoval are being super cryptic. They just tell everyone to be ready by 6:20. No one knows anything. James is getting the ring together as Raquel is curling her hair.
Which I'm like, Bravo producers probably told him to do this and he's cutting it so close and I was stressed.
He was like, she starts talking and he's like, what? Like, and she goes,
it's really it's hot in here. And I'm like, don't look back.
And he's like, oh my God, I'm sweating. Like he's freaking out. Also, Raquel, of course it's hot. You're curling your hair, honey.
In Palm Springs. Like you're in a fucking desert curling your hair,
honey. Come on, Raquel. We love you, baby angel. Okay, so Ariana and Charlie are basically dressed the same, like alien cowboys. Love it. Raquel has this like cute dress outfit, which I'm happy she didn't go crazy because of the pig. Like, imagine yeah, Ariana she's like getting boho. Proposed to. Yeah.
She's boho and everybody else is like glitters and festival. Neon. Yeah.
But can you imagine if she dressed like Ariana and then all of her pictures were like that? So I'm like really happy.
I bet James, when they were packing, was like, no, like that, that outfit is so cute. Yeah. Go with that. It'll look great. Or
Sandoval called him. Was like, what are you wearing?
Yeah.
Raquel, do you want to match?
Yeah. There it is.
So everyone takes shots and then Sandoval tells him to get in the van.
Let's go.
And everyone's freaking out and James is nervous.
I love that it's a surprise for everyone. It helps conceal that a proposal is happening.
So we're in two different vans. My favorite van personally is with Charlie, Lala, Sheena, Brock,
karaoke and van.
Randall. We do car karaoke and Lala sings Good as Gold, which would have been my favorite.
Like,
that is my karaoke choice.
Fucking go.
And then they pull up and there's a sign that says Welcome to Arcella. And everyone's fucking freaking out.
Not our.
R. It was literally an R. Yes. Everyone's freaking the fuck out. They're so excited. They pull up to the actual grounds of Coachella. They're all freaking out.
They are so shocked.
Charlie's so excited. She falls out the fucking van. She's like, I just fall everywhere. And Zach's like, are you fine? And she's like, I'm clumsy. I loved it. It was so cute.
She just like tumbles and he's like, you good? And she's like, I'm just. I love that. No.
I just like that she's not like embarrassed or hurt. She's like, I'm so clumsy.
Thank God it was her and not Raquel though. Can you imagine like Raquel being like a puddle of tears then rest of the day?
I know. Okay. So we're at Arcella. It's super dope. There's dancers and balloons and margaritas and tacos. And honestly, I'm just concerned about the marks and the tacos.
I know. I was like, do I go for a drink first or do I go for food? And then I would probably look at you and be like, you go get food. I'll go get drinks.
Each will split it. Get me my shit. We'll meet in the middle. We are obviously the couple on this. We are one couple. Schwartz and Katie get a picture and Schwartz grabs Katie's boob. And I found it funny that he needed to clarify to the photographer that that is his wife.
And he's like, this is my wife. I'm not sexually assaulting.
Yeah. I'm not being weird. She does say, she's like, cut it out. And he's like, I'm not being creepy.
Yeah, I know she's bitching, but like
I own those boobs.
That sounds weird, but I'm married to those boobs. How about that?
So then, super surprise, DJ James Kennedy is performing.
And Raquel's like dancing next to him. I'm like,
he's having so much fun. Brock does the dirty dancing lift with Schwartz. Raquel is so excited because this is something her and James always do together. And now like he recreated it for her.
What makes this the best proposal is she's like already happy, just like with
She's so excited. So then James and Sandoval like do a little talk on the DJ booth. Hey,
here's the like last minute logistics of like when the proposal needs to go down. I'm going to have my walkie talkie.
James is like, when am I doing it? And Sandoval's like 10 minutes. Listen. And he looks at the clock and he's like, James is like, oh my God. And Sandoval's like, don't freak out. Don't freak out. My walkie talkie is set. We're fine. And I was cracking up.
I know. He's like, Sandoval's so involved. In 10 minutes, you're going to walk over there. There's going to be fireworks. I've got my walkie talkie. As soon as you walk over, I'm going to give them a
signal.
Yeah.
Wait 3 minutes and do it. You have 3 minutes to do it or else the fireworks will go off.
Yeah. Like be prepared. Quick 3 minutes in and out.
Yeah. Fucking time it. Put it on your timer. He was ready. And I need Sandoval to plan all my events. He's
perfect. Especially, I need Sandoval. Like if I ever happen to meet someone who wants to marry me, I need Sandoval. I need someone to take control like this because it's kind of like a party planner. You need somebody to do the logistics like this to be like, I'll be on the walkie-talkie with the firework guys. You got 3 minutes to do your speech and propose. And then like fireworks are going off.
You're so nervous. Like you're not focused.
No, you should be focused on the words you're saying and like actually proposing. And then somebody else should take care of the fireworks so they time it correctly.
I love to. That Sandoval probably excused himself while everyone was like freaking out over Arcella. He was probably setting up that balloon thing. He was making sure the fireworks were right in frame. He like set up the lights and he was like, great, like, great. We're all ready.
I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Don't follow me. And Ariana's like, I'm not. Don't worry. I don't
was
want
not
to.
Gonna follow you, but thanks for telling me.
So James believes that everything happens for a reason. And all through his issues with drinking and all his cheating and whatever and arguing with Raquel has led him to this moment. So he goes up to Raquel and he's like, hey, can I borrow you for a moment? Like, let's go on a walk. So they go on this walk. Raquel has no idea. She's like, this is great. I love Coachella.
She said on Instagram, like she had some ideas when they like first showed up. It was their thing that I think she like kind of thought like, oh, maybe this might happen.
And then it took James forever and he was just hanging out with Sandoval that she was like, never mind. Just kidding. So
that's true.
They go on this walk and they walk up and there's like lights leading to this light, nice little balloon that says Raquel. And he does his speech. He's very sweet, talks about how much he loves her. He needs her. He wants to spend the rest of his life with her. Gets down on one knee. I like that he did it quick. He gave a speech, down on one knee, open thing.
Yep.
She shook. She's like, she's not crying yet, but she's like, oh my God. And she says, yes.
Yep.
And they're like, so excited. Then she starts to cry. And then James is like, wait, you said yes? And she's like, yeah. And so they like hug and then the fireworks go off.
Perfectly timed.
Perfectly. And then Sandoval's the only one looking in that direction. And then the fireworks go off and everyone's like, what is that?
Everybody's like, what's going on?
They start to walk over there and Sandoval starts handing out like little confetti shooters and is like, James just proposed to Raquel. And they're all like, what?
This is where I'm like, okay. But then the episode like cuts.
I wanted and people I was to like, be more shocked.
Well, I was expecting them to then do these confetti cannons or whatever they are. And like for everybody to be a part of it. And we didn't. So I was kind of sad.
I know. That's how I'm guessing next episode.
This was a big episode. There was a lot. I mean, that awesome pickleball tournament. So I'm guessing they just ran out of time, but I was sad that it ends with like Sandoval telling them the news and that's it.
I know. And Sandoval was so funny with it because he was half excited, half trying to hand out these confetti shooters.
Yeah. He's like party planner, but also like super pumped. By the way, here's everything.
It's very exciting. James just proposed to Raquel on the count of three. I'm going to tell you when to shoot this. Don't fuck it up.
Follow me. Ooh. We're walking and we're walking.
We're walking. Go. Do not shoot. Schwartz, put it down. Do not shoot at King.
Not until I give you the nod. Look for my nod.
Was cute. And everyone's so in shock. Everyone's Ariana's fucking hammered. And she's like not comprehending anything.
I love that they're just like fireworks. Yay. The next thing. And he's like, no, James proposed.
It was a proposal. Do not run over there. Do not run over there. That is cut off.
This is the downside
that way.
This is the downside to everybody being in the dark.
Yeah. Cause now they're all going to run over and he has to be like, don't go past.
Yeah. You got to like explain it at the ninth hour. Like, hey, we're doing confetti showers. Here's where you need to stand. But on the plus side is nobody ruined it and was awkward.
It was lovely. No one even noticed Raquel and James.
But like, I needed Sandoval to walk over like whenever Raquel and James walked over to be like, he's proposing now, follow me.
You know what would be dope? If Sandoval hired security to block all the drunk people. So then when they were running, he was like, don't go over there. And security was just standing there. Dope. Probably
He needs like a second party planner friend. He needed Katie to be in on it, to be like, all right, everybody stand on this side. You stand
Tequila
on this side.
Katie stops everyone. She's like, do not get past me. I'll fucking kill you.
It's like a line leader for drunk adults.
Love it. I'm so excited. Well, next week we get Katie and Schwartz. Okay. At first I didn't know what they were talking about, 'cause they were talking about ejaculating, but then we figure out that they're trying to have a baby. Yes. Sandoval's also involved in this process.
And so is Lisa. He has
a vagina candle. Yeah. Lisa's involved. Basically they've been trying to get pregnant and it's not working, so they're doing fertility stuff. We find out Raquel's sister, it hasn't been very supportive of her and James for good reason, but you know,
I can't wait for this.
Sheena loves Brock, but Lala's very skeptical. And then Sandoval and Katie argue as Ariana just sits there and looks miserable. So I'm excited for that. I'm going to watch Ariana the whole time. Just her face of like, ugh.
I can't wait. I mean, I just like love to not know what's coming up.
I know. I miss it. This has been a great episode. I love it. Do you want to do really quick Twitter polls, or do you want to do accepted and blocked first?
I would rather do accepted and blocked first.
Okay. Who are we? Are we accepting the same person?
Can we just do the duo?
The couple.
Yeah. Like, I'll pick Raquel, you pick James.
James.
For all the reasons. Plus Raquel's sweet baby angel performance.
Yeah.
In, what's it called?
Giving the pickleball. Toast?
No, oh. Pickleball. Her, like, cute also, little outfit. Just like,
quick blue ribbon to Sandoval for planning it. Like, yes.
Gold star to Sandoval.
Gold star.
But he doesn't
James
get the spotlight.
James and Raquel, amazing. We can't wait for this wedding.
That's honestly why we will probably get another Vanderpump Rules season.
Oh, I'm involved. I'm involved in this relationship.
Yeah. I have my own confetti cannon right here.
I'm so excited. Okay, who are we blocking? There weren't a lot of bad people, but I think I know who I want to block.
Yeah, I want to block. Okay, I kind of have to, but like, I feel like I know who to block just because of like what's going on.
I feel bad blocking one of them, but you pick first and I'll pick the other one.
So like my initial is just like Brock. I mean, I'm with when Lala's like talking in her interview about how there really aren't excuses. I do agree with that. Like they're outside of the COVID version, but like the years prior, like it
what
sucks to
doing?
Know he, it, from what we know right now, I'm blocking him because I'm upset that it seems he seems nonchalant when he's talking about this. And like Lala says that in her interview, like they're just saying this, like this is normal. And for them it is, that's fine. Like they obviously know more and Sheena has alluded to that. But at this point, you're telling two of your, I'm going to say quote unquote friends. And this just seems like this is like a normal thing. And this is like a dog you just like gave to another family.
Yes, I agree. It's hard, but
I just don't like how it's portrayed. Like I've said many of times, I will give him the 2 other years of COVID, but like the 2 years prior, it just seems way too casual. Him like not seeing them, not having any contact from the outside looking in, it doesn't seem like he's doing a lot.
Yes. I don't know enough though, but he was one of mine.
So I hope he can have redemption. I really want him to, because I think there's a lot more to this story, but for now, not happy.
I am going to Brock Schwartz because he's a giant
Brock
pussy.
Schwartz.
Brock and Schwartz. Those are my two.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to Brock Schwartz instead of Brock Schwartz.
No. I'm going to Brock Schwartz. Brock was my other one, but I'm going to Brock Schwartz because he's a big ass pussy. He literally chose to get steamrolled. Like we watched him.
Yes.
And he fucking insulted the hell out of Katie. And do I think Katie sometimes deserves it?
You know the
sure,
airport
but,
people with like those lights?
Yeah.
He's like, Sandoval, come here with your steamroller right here.
Come here. And then as Sandoval comes over, it just happens to also steamroll Katie because Schwartz does not protect
her. Yeah, he steamrolls. Before Sandoval gets into the steamroller, he's like, hold on, let me just ream over Katie real quick. And then me next.
Yeah, and Schwartz is like, great, love it. Come my way.
Here.
It's bad. Okay, quick stuff on Instagram. Really quick.
Okay.
In case we missed it, Sheena did text Rob. And asked and said, can you please confirm that you're the one that liked the name Madison? Well, she starts out with, hey, stranger, 2 questions. Are you going to blend in? I don't know what that means. But can you please confirm that you're the one who liked the name Madison? And Rob is going to blend in, whatever that means. But He says, oh, Madison Parks Valletta. Yes, that was my name. And I can never go back. Haha. Although I still follow her Instagram account. She has grown so much. So I think they had a fake baby.
What? Or there's like a person with that name and they just loved it.
My name that I can never get back. Oh, can never get back. Maybe now that he's not with Sheena, he can never use that name.
Or somebody chose to name their baby that they know.
Maybe someone made a parody account because they talked about that baby's name and now he can never use that name. That's funny. Okay. So then I also posted a bunch of shit on Instagram. Yes. So one of them was, I asked, who's your favorite, Raquel or Lala? No one voted for Lala, but seven people voted for Raquel.
And we are two of those people, by the way.
Yes. Okay, then go read my tweets, everyone. But then my next poll was, do you think Katie has a Karen haircut? Six people voted for yes, including me, but one person voted for no. You didn't vote in this one.
Oh, dang it.
I said yes, she does.
Okay, well, I think yes. So seven yeses.
So then I asked, because there was a tweet. I need to read this tweet. It was, Superfan Rand is being such a dick. He doesn't need to flex that hard on poor Schwartz. It's not cute. Did he even pay back Fofty the $1 million he owed him? Which I just loved the Fofty drama. Agreed. If you don't know, it was 50 Cent. Go read the Twitter argument. But so I put one, are you team Rand or team Fofty?
I did not vote on this because I didn't know how I felt.
I personally just voted for Fofty because I thought he was the funniest one in that Twitter argument. True. Two people voted for Rand and two people voted for Fofty. And I think that was my last one. Yeah.
I think Randall went too hard, but I think he thought it would inspire Schwartz to man the fuck up. You know,
I thought so too. I agree.
Okay. But are those all the polls?
Yes.
I have some comments because I was waiting for the show and saw that Schwartz and Sandoval went live right before the show started. So I was watching it on Instagram live. And one, the reason they were doing that is because they came out with their own whiskey brand.
Oh my God. Exciting.
So they have a bourbon and a whiskey, I believe. And really cute labels. Love it. Love all the photography. Hats off to them. So they were drinking that and answering questions. And Schwartz was like, we'll take shots for every name better than Schwartz and Sandy's. And he was like, and for me, half shots. And I was like, I love that you're sticking true to the half shots.
Yeah.
A lot of like random ass names, but they did like take some shots to some good ones. One was Atomic.
Oh, that's a good one.
And Tomfoolery were the top two.
Oh, that's another good one.
We're good. Also, just for us, because I think you'll love this, is I didn't know this. Sandoval lived in Chicago for a few years, right by my old apartment. He lived at LaSalle and Division, right by that giant Jewel Osco.
Holy shit. I've peed in that Jewel Osco so many times.
Oh my God. That's where I used to go grocery shopping. And he was like, that grocery store wasn't there when I lived there. And like,
it's dopest. Listen, rent is so expensive right there. Cause that grocery store is so fucking dope. Fire. But that's where we used to buy shit before our podcast. We'd stop there. I know we're like going down memory lane, but
I know I was like, what the fuck? We lived right in the same neighborhood. I mean, years apart, but
years because he moved to LA before we were born, probably. But
very true.
That's so cool. I mean, it makes sense because St. Louis.
Yeah.
Where do you go?
A lot of transplants.
Yeah. Oh my God. So cool. We have so many connections to Sandoval.
What a great time. I know. I almost was like, shout out St. Louis. But
he doesn't miss Chicago at all.
No, not at all.
He's dead. I miss Chicago. I love it.
But they did say that their alcohol will be sold in Missouri. And I was like, oh, the true St. Louis will always come back.
They're condosores. They'll actually be at the bars buying it for people.
It'll be the sangria plan. They'll just do that.
Yeah, but with their own whiskey. Can you imagine if some two dudes, even though I loved them, it's the same thing with the sangria. I'm not trying to have just like a drink of whiskey.
It happens. My mom has done this with her margarita mix on Cinco de Mayo. Like we've gone out to bars.
Different, but I'm out at the club. These two men, now I know them.
You're overexpecting St. Louis to have like clubs.
even if I'm just out with my friends, they're like, would you like to sip on this nice whiskey? I'd be like,
listen, no. You're watching a Cardinals game in some rundown bar and two guys walk up and are like, would you like some bourbon on the rocks? And you're like, sorry, my Bud Light will do.
Yeah, no, I'm a simpleton. All I do is drink cheap ass beer that's watered down and disgusting, but we love it.
Well, I would name a different one, but you wouldn't know what that one is. It's what St. Louisans drink.
The Midwestern Flair. Really quick, did I tell you that my first night out, I was out with like all these New Yorkers and I was like, I didn't know them. So I was like, they're going to all order tequila sodas because that's a big thing here. And one guy goes, I'll take a Bud Light. And I was like, whoa, it's a very Midwestern brewed. I was like, what's up? Do you know the Bush family? They live in St. Louis. No, he's from like upstate Wisconsin.
Oh my God.
Like almost, or not Wisconsin, New York, almost Canada.
This is getting so off topic, but I have to mention it. I was on the beach yesterday and I swear in my mind, I saw Gussie Bush and then immediately went to his Instagram and was like, is he where I am? He's not, but it looked just like him from behind.
He can't be where you are. He has a radio show in St. Louis now with his sister who meant to go to LA, did not succeed, and then came back and is not getting back together with Clark.
If you want to know what we're talking about, go listen to One Season Wonders.
Oh my God. Honestly, don't even watch the show. Just listen to us fucking talk about it. It's the best show I've ever watched in my life.
All right. I think that's all we have.
Oh my gosh. This has been so fun. Remember, rate, review, subscribe, Instagram, Patreon. Yes.
All the things.
That's it.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.